This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out with you as always from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. You can always catch us Sirius XM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. In case you missed it, the first game of the quarterfinals of the college football playoff has come and gone. The Miami Hurricanes advanced 24-14 over the Ohio State Buckeyes. We'll take on the winner of Georgia and Ole Miss. We will talk about Georgia and Ole Miss and all of the bowl action coming up on Thursday with our next guest. He is Tanner Kern. You know him, DraftKings Sportsbook and Forbes contributor. And he joins us now on the Progressive guest line. Tanner, talk to me, man. Watching things play out with Miami and Ohio State. Scale of 1 to 10, your level of shock that Mario Cristobal actually pulled out the outright upset?
Put it at about a 6. You know, I think there were doubts with Ohio State this year because, you know, you look at Julian saying he was not ready for the moment tonight. Ohio State's offensive and defensive lines were dominated, and I think that was a storyline coming to the game. You know, a lot of people who were on Miami were saying they're going to be able to dominate the trenches. They were able to do that. So I definitely thought Ohio State was going to pull it off. I had a lot tied to Ohio State tonight. But credit to Miami. I mean, they look really good. And when they had to run the ball at the end of the game to finish it off, they were able to do it just like they did against Texas A&M. So Miami's dangerous right now. I mean, Georgia or Ole Miss is going to be competition for them, but they look really good and they're very physical.
Yeah, I think the message that was sent today is that this college football landscape is different than we're used to. Anyone can win the title. Don't look at the number next to the team and where they're ranked coming into the game. I think any of these teams is capable of making a run from here on out and hoisting the trophy at the end. So let's look at the New Year's Day card. We'll open up with Oregon and Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl. Ducks laying 2.5, totals 50.5. What do you think about this one?
So my first recommendation here is don't fall for the brand. Oregon's a fantastic football team, but I think a lot of people this college football season have fallen for the brand. And we saw that tonight. Don't get me wrong. I was one of those people on Ohio State, but the brand of Ohio State made them the 9.5-point favorite tonight and ultimately closed at 7.5. I think the brand of Oregon is making a lot of people choose Oregon in this game. Texas Tech is really good. And, you know, in today's climate, it comes down to NIL, and Texas Tech's got that oil money. My biggest fear with Texas Tech coming into the game against Oregon, how are they going to handle a tight game? They haven't been in one all season except for the Arizona State game. That was with a backup quarterback, obviously didn't come through. How is Baron Morton going to perform under pressure? I think Texas Tech's really going to have to stretch the field and get the X plays just like Oregon's going to. But, you know, I think defensively, Texas Tech matches up really well. I think they're going to be able to have more success on defense than Oregon is in this game. And I do ultimately like them to pull off the win. But, you know, there's obviously the struggle of not playing a game in the first round and coming into the rest versus rust debate. But I really am high on Texas Tech, and I think they got a good team. And Oregon, while they're fantastic, Dan Lanning has not been able to win the big game. So I'll take the plus money here. I think Texas Tech's going to be very competitive.
Tanner Kern's our guest, DraftKings Sportsbook Forbes contributor at Tanner Kern _ on X is where you can find him over on social media. All right, what do you make of the Rose Bowl? Because I got to tell you, man, I took the 7.5 with Alabama taking on Indiana. The total's 48.5. I feel very square doing so. I feel like I'm betting on the brand name of Bama, betting on the SEC over the Big Ten. And I love Indiana and the story, but I just don't know how good they actually are. And I think Ohio State's loss is actually a ding against them. So talk to me. Are you going with the Tide or are you going with the Hoosiers?
Roll Tide, Dustin. Roll Tide. You know, I look at tonight's game and how it went, and I think that's going to make that Bama line actually move in their favor. Bama's a really good football team, and, you know, they got the bad reputation because of the end of the season. But, you know, if they beat Oklahoma at the end of the regular season, I think people are talking about Bama a lot differently. The stretch that they went on to go beat Vanderbilt, Missouri, Georgia, like, that was a hell of a stretch for them. It's one of the most impressive in the country. Ty Simpson, absolute dog at quarterback. He's been fantastic when he has to be in big moments. And you just don't know what that Oklahoma 17-0 deficit does to you as a team, right? You come back from that. You have all the confidence in the world. Lazier Brooks gets going. Jeremy Bernard's been fantastic. You get the run game going when you had to against Oklahoma there, a couple big plays. And then, you know, if you get Ryan Williams going, there's a lot of speed. And that speed, I don't think Indiana's seen a lot of that this year. This is going to be one of the fastest teams Indiana has faced. Defensively, Alabama, you're going to get LT Overton back in this game. I love Indiana. Don't get me wrong. I think it's a great story with them, but maybe I'm betting on the brand, but I think Alabama's going to be very competitive in this game. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people.
Tanner, I think there's a world where Alabama wins this one and they don't look back. And I know they're a very flawed team, but like, I just trust Kalen DeBoer, big game coach, great as an underdog. He's being doubted. Give me the rallying cry. All right, last bowl game coming up here, and it's Ole Miss and Georgia. You know, it's crazy. This game is not being hyped up very much. Dogs are laying 6.5. Total's 55.5. You want to lay it with the favorite here?
I do. This one scares me a little bit because you look at Ole Miss and they're playing really good with Pete Golding as head coach now, coming off a big win against JMU. Trinidad Chambliss is fantastic at quarterback. They got good pass rushers on the edge, and you know, they're a really good football team. But the way I look at this game is, you know, when we went back between the hedges, Georgia, Ole Miss, Georgia goes down in that game. Ole Miss fights back. Georgia fights back. Ole Miss gets out to the early start. I feel like Ole Miss kind of threw every punch they had at Georgia in that game. And Georgia was still able to win. They were still able to cover down the stretch. Now, this is going to be a neutral site here, but you know, I love Gunnar Stockton at quarterback. The kid's a competitor. I think if you get the ball in space of Zachariah Branch, you're going to be in very good shape. I love the offense that Mike Bobo calls. He does a ton of screens. And I think that's going to give Ole Miss trouble. But the biggest reason I can't go with Ole Miss in this game or take the points, just the fact that, you know, the offensive staff is going to be going to LSU. You can't tell me their mind, their focus is fully on this playoff game, right? They're on to next season. And I do think if you're going to get a situation where, you know, Pete Golding's going to get out coach, you're going to get a situation where Ole Miss's offensive staff not being there is going to be a problem. It's going to be this game against Kirby Smart and the Georgia Bulldogs.
Chatting with our buddy Tanner Kern, DraftKings Sportsbook contributor, Forbes contributor, DraftKings Sportsbook analyst at TannerKern_ on X, Progressive Guest Line. All right, let's go over to the NFL. Seattle and San Francisco doing battle. San Francisco, the run that they've been on without any defense being played is absolutely insane. But you know what you have in your favor here if you like Seattle? Mike McDonald dominates on the road. And right now the market understands that. Seattle's laying 1.5. Total is 48. Where do you want to go with this one?
I'm going to take the Seattle Seahawks here, and I'm not a big Sam Darnold fan, but, you know, as you were saying, Seattle's been great on the road, and they got a great defense. You know, the one thing that people haven't really talked about in San Francisco, it's been more, you know, it's a great coaching job by Kyle Shanahan just because of the fact that they've been injured. You lose guys on both sides of the ball, and you're still here in a position to get the one seed. But we should be talking about how the defense is giving up points and yards like crazy every single week right now. They might score 40, but they're going to give up 38, 39 right now. And if you do that against a team like Seattle, or you try to play like that against a team like Seattle, it's not going to work because the Seahawks play great defense. As long as Sam Darnold does not turn the ball over, which is a consistent problem for him, Seattle should be just fine in this game because I don't see San Francisco making enough stops to win it.
All right, then Sunday Night Football, another game that matters on Sunday. The Ravens and the Steelers. It sounds like Lamar's trending in the right direction. Baltimore's laying 3.5. And right now that total is sitting at 40.5 over at DraftKings. Which direction you going here?
Well, personally, I'd rather have Snoop Huntley on the field because it seems like they try to run the ball with Derrick Henry a little more when he's in. But if Lamar's in there, I think the Ravens got to take the same exact game plan that they had last week. You got to be able to run the ball with Derrick Henry. I mean, that is how they're going to go. If they're able to do that, they're going to be just fine against Pittsburgh. Biggest thing to look at with the Steelers, no DK Metcalf again. When you need that big play, who are you going to go to? Not having him on the field is really going to hurt them here. And Lamar, he's got to keep the ball clean. You know, play a clean game, don't turn it over. I think they're going to be able to do that in this one. You know, the Ravens got blessed with the Steelers' loss last week to the Browns. I think they take full advantage of it and learn from what you did last week against Green Bay. Give the ball to Derrick Henry. You got to trust that he's going to hold on to it. If you do, I think they're just fine. They win this football game, they cover.
What's your level of trust in Baltimore if they do that? Like realistically, because, you know, I was thinking like I was the smartest person in the room a few months ago. They get off to a 1-5 start, Tanner. I bet the Baltimore Ravens 22-1 to win the Super Bowl. They're 22-1 right now. And if they win this game, do you think there's a world this team could be competitive and scary and potentially make a run all the way to the Super Bowl? Or do you think maybe like what we've seen throughout the regular season, the up and down nature, that's what we'll get in the postseason?
comes down to Lamar. Like, if Lamar holds onto the ball and they're able to run it with Derrick Henry, they can beat anybody. You look at the AFC right now, I think a lot of people are on the Bills just because Josh Allen has to get it this year with no Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, but the Bills' defense is terrible. The Patriots are a really good football team, but you know what? They got a lot of off-the-field issues now, and to top it off, you know, they haven't played anybody. You look at Denver, probably the most complete team, but do I trust Bo Nix to get it done? You know, there's a lot of doubt in the AFC right now, so I think the Ravens get in. They have the team to beat anybody on any given day as long as Lamar holds on the ball and they run it. So I don't mind the bet at 22-1. You got to, you know, if you get through this game on Sunday night, I think you got a chance. But obviously the NFC is definitely the conference I'd be looking at to win the Super Bowl right now.
He is Tanner Kern. You can check him out over at the DraftKings Sportsbook, Forbes.com, at Tanner Kern _. Hey, man, I appreciate you doing this each and every week, especially tonight where you're calling us from the future in 2026. Look forward to continuing doing this throughout the year, and I hope you have a great new year.
You too. Have a good new year when it hits in Vegas in a few hours.
I appreciate it, man. Great stuff from our guy, Tanner Kern. So he's on Seattle. He's on Baltimore. I'm not willing to bet a side in Baltimore and Pittsburgh. Seattle is the more balanced team. I understand backing them. Mike McDonald, the weird twist of fate to be so dominant on the road, it leads me to want to back them big picture. I have them 14-1 to win the NFC, but he mentioned it. Do you trust Sam Darnold? Because, by the way, he's in the same spot he was in last year. Week 18, one seat on the line for him, and he melted down. Hey, the start of the new year, start the new year off as a better by becoming a VSiN Pro right now. Get a VSiN Pro subscription, our holiday special. It'll save you 50% off the regular monthly price. That's the betting splits, the best bets, all of it. Through May 1st for just $79, plus coverage of every major sport, the NFL playoffs, March Madness, college football playoff, the Masters, and more. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe to learn more.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Cashing out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Appreciate you making us part of your night, however you may be tuning in. Welcome to 2026. You can always catch us, SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, and the VSiN Watch app. We've done a lot of college football tonight. And it's apropos, we've got all the bowl games coming up. We'll look at all of them with our guy Colby Dant coming up in our next segment. Plus, our VSiN Morning Bet segment will feature all of our bets for the bowl games. But right now, I want to hit on the NFL because there are opportunities to target these players as player props begin to populate for Week 18, a really difficult week, not just for bettors, but also the sports books, to hang numbers that make sense. That's why they're very slow on the trigger to find us numbers for some of these player props. A few have matriculated at various sports books right now, but right now we are still waiting for some of them. I want to give you the information here for running backs, for receivers, for tight ends, that I think we should be looking at numbers when they pop out to back them in Week 18. But before we get to that, I want to remind you that this hour is sponsored by PropheticX. On PropheticX, you'll find on average 20% better odds on moneyline spreads and totals compared to a traditional sportsbook. Download PropheticX today. Use the code VSIN to earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. Download PropheticX today. Use the code VSIN, and you'll get up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. So let's begin looking at the running back matchups that make sense this week in Week 18. These are the defenses where we have as many data points as we're going to have on them that are the worst at defending running backs running the football. Minnesota allows the most rush attempts per game to opposing running backs, 26.6. Then you have New Orleans at 31st, 25.8. Washington is 25.2. The Raiders, 24.6. And the Jets at 24.5. For rushing yardage per game, Cincinnati's the worst. A buck 22.8 on the ground. The Giants right after them at 118.1. Then you have Washington, Arizona, and Buffalo rounding out the bottom five rushing defenses in terms of player props against running backs. So looking at this list right now, I can't do anything with the running backs for Cleveland. I don't know what to make of that situation. I'm considering a Raheem Rocket Sanders play because, you know, Quinshon Judkins is out. And Rocket Sanders is a guy I really liked at college at South Carolina and Arkansas. I mean, he's an explosive runner. He's a big body. He can handle the wear and tear of the NFL. But the problem becomes, is Cleveland going to have a lead in that game? Or is it going to be a close game against a Cincinnati offense that's really found itself since Joe Burrow's return? You usually don't want to back running backs running the football if they're on an underdog, because traditionally you will not get as many runs late in that game. But maybe because Cincinnati's defense is so bad and so porous, Sanders could get going early and clear a low number set by the sports book. So be on the lookout for that. If it's a really low number, I'd think about Sanders as a guy that could go off. He's a sleeper, though. We may be waiting till kickoff to see numbers posted on him. The Giants at 31. I think the matchup with Dallas is intriguing because if you look at the injury reports, Javonte Williams has a shoulder injury. And that happened in week 17 going up against the Commanders. You also have Malik Davis. He's a guy who has an eye issue. Dare we look to back Jadon Blue, the rookie out of Texas, explosive runner, who's had some commitment issues, I believe, this year where they haven't activated him for a lot of games. I think Jadon Blue, maybe not from a rushing yardage perspective, but maybe like a long shot, anytime touchdown for late in the game against the Giants, that could be a situation that makes sense for him. Washington at 30th, you know, with Philly likely not playing their top guys, it could be a good spot for Will Shipley or Tank Bigsby to go off. And I think the books are going to struggle setting the number. Washington can't stop the run. I think Tanner McKee is going to move the football. I think Philly's going to have the lead. I think they'll be running late. So I think both running backs could make sense depending on what the books post for Shipley or for Bigsby. But if they're going to post the number for Saquon Barkley, you're going to go under because I don't even know if he's going to suit up for this matchup. Arizona at 29th. I don't think I'd touch Kyren Williams with Blake Corum being injured. McVay's claiming they're going to play some starters. I don't know how long they do that. Breece Hall against Buffalo. I wouldn't go there because I think the Jets are going to be losing. Some other matchups that intrigue me. You know, you got Bucky Irving going up against Carolina, who would be 27th in terms of rushing yards allowed to opposing running backs. He had 54% of the snaps last week. He's someone I'd consider going up against the Panthers. New Orleans is taking on Atlanta. Could we see Bijan Robinson end the year with a bang coming off a monster performance against the Rams in primetime? Could he add to the lure and have a monster day against New Orleans, who allows 106 yards per game on the ground to running backs? They're 26th in the league right now. Over at VSiN.com/NFL props, you can check out our Opta AI player prop projections. That's the same trusted brand that does soccer analytics in the UK. They're doing our player props up at VSiN.com/NFL props. A couple of guys that I think made sense that they pointed out that they like a margin on. Rico Dowdle, Carolina, going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. His number set at 55.5. They have him going for 63.17. Keaton Mitchell for Baltimore. While they like Derrick Henry going under, they like Mitchell slightly over. Mitchell's number at DraftKings, 20.5 rush yards. They have him going for 26.05. So 6 yards over his number. I'm considering Keaton Mitchell more than I'm considering Dowdle, because I think the Bucs run defense might be able to step up in a critical spot at home. And I just don't trust Carolina to have a lead on the road where they're able to utilize their run game at all. That was rushing. How about receiving for running backs? As Tampa Bay last few years, they've been the worst team defending running backs, catching the ball out of the backfield. And Chuba Hubbard's a guy I'd consider for Carolina. You know, Dowdle and him, it's tough to figure out which one's going to go off catching the football. Last time against Tampa, Dowdle had 14 yards. Chuba only had 7. But I think Chuba would be the pass-catching back in this scenario. I may stay away because it's a bit of a foggy issue. Cincinnati, bad at defending running backs, catching the ball in the backfield. Dylan Sampson, good pass catcher for Cleveland. That's how I prefer to back the Cleveland running back situation. Someone who can catch the ball because they're going to be losing. Shador's going to dump it off to him. I think Sampson is a guy that we've seen with Shador at quarterback take a short pass a long way for a touchdown. Dallas going up against Tyrone Tracy. They allow the third most receiving yards to opposing running backs. I think Tyrone Tracy in a spot for Jackson Dart, trying to make a case offensive rookie of the year, high scoring game. He could definitely, a former receiver in his college days, be mixed in as a receiver in this game. And then what about a long shot? I don't know what the number is going to be for Ray Davis in Buffalo taking on the Jets. They're favorites in the spot. The Jets defense has gotten so much worse since losing Quinnen Williams stopping the run. I think Ray Davis for Buffalo could be the spot if they put James Cook on ice. You want to be risky? Ray Davis could make some sense this week for the new for the Buffalo Bills. In terms of catching the football, let me go back. Baltimore, they allow the fourth most receiving yards per game to opposing running backs. Kenneth Gainwell, consider him as an option for you here. Gainwell against the Baltimore Ravens. He had six catches for 27 yards last time. His number set at 21.5. I think without DK Metcalf in the lineup, Gainwell becomes one of the few guys that Aaron Rodgers trusts to throw the ball to through the air. I'd consider him. And then Philly, they're the fifth worst allowing running backs catching the ball out of the backfield. Jeremy McNichols for Washington. Good matchup for him. Receiving back, usually out there on third down. His numbers usually aren't too high. I think McNichols is a guy I would consider here. Christian McCaffrey is going to take on Seattle. They allow the most receptions per game to opposing running backs. They allow the 27th most, or I guess the sixth most receiving yards per game to opposing running backs through the air. McCaffrey's number right now is set at 41.5, and VSiN.com/NFL props projection has him going for 47.44 in that game. That's running backs. Now let's quickly look at the receivers. Here are the defenses that are the worst at defending receivers this year catching the football. So Indy allows the most receptions, followed by Baltimore, Pittsburgh, the Raiders, and the Jaguars. In terms of yardage, it's Dallas, Indy, Baltimore, Tennessee, and Washington. Guys, I'd look to back here. Dallas going up against the Giants, they allow the most receiving yards to wide receivers. Wandale Robinson, probably the guy that Jackson Dart trusts the most if he's going to make this push for Offensive Rookie of the Year, and I don't think it's crazy and out of the question. Pittsburgh has a great matchup, but I don't trust anyone catching the ball against this Baltimore defense, even though they're not very good defending receivers. Which receiver you want to back on the Steelers right now? Parker Washington for Jacksonville against Tennessee is interesting. He's had 145 and a buck 15 the last 2 weeks, but I think Jacksonville is going to have a lead in that game and trying to run the football out. So some other names that make sense. I think someone from Chicago, as they try to play for the two seed, Burden, Zacchaeus, one of those receivers for them, I think could have a good day against a really bad Detroit secondary. That's the receivers. Let's go to the tight ends real quickly. The ones that I think make sense the most. We're going to look at Hunter Henry and Austin Hooper going against Miami. They allow the fourth most receiving yards to opposing tight ends. I really like them. I think George Kittle against Seattle, they allow the fifth most receiving yards to opposing tight ends. And then if we're looking for some flyers, some long shots, Grant Calcaterra for Philly going up against Washington. Washington is allowing the seventh most receiving yards to tight ends. And then Gunnar Helm for Tennessee taking on Jacksonville. Jacksonville is just a tick worse than Washington. I think both those guys, if you can get a good number on them, will make sense once their numbers are posted there. ProfitX, the number one sports prediction market, is offering some of the best future pricing available right now on the College Football National Championship and Super Bowl odds. And right now, they are matching a 20% purchase match, giving you an even more of a value at ProfitX as you build positions throughout the postseason. If you're looking for sharper pricing, flexibility, and a new way to attack futures markets, this is it. Download ProfitX today and experience the future of winning. Use promo code VSIN to get started today. Miami has won the Cotton Bowl. They advanced to the college football playoff. Could they make a title run? We'll break it down next.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing Out rolls on from the Circa Sportsbook. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Appreciate you making us a part of your night, however you may be tuning in. Welcome to 2026. Happy New Year to you and yours. Thanks for making us a part of 2026 for you. And in case you missed it, right at the end of 2025, the Miami Hurricanes announced that the U is officially back. They win the Cotton Bowl 24-14 over Ohio State. And nobody is happier to hear that than our next guest. He is Colby Dant, the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. The College Experience is his show. You can check him out on X at TheColbyD. Dude, I can't believe you went moneyline on Mario Cristobal. I'm a Miami fan. I have Miami futures. I did not see them winning this game. This felt like the spot where it comes to an end, riding a high off of A&M. But there was no doubt they were the better football team today at the Cotton Bowl. Talk to me about what you saw from the Canes.
Yeah, they never trailed. And really right out the gate, they got after it. They were moving the ball. Ohio State was not, Ryan Day picked an interesting time to call the plays for his team. Yeah. I know he's got a track record of doing that, but still, I know Hartline took the job down there in South Florida, but I think it showed they looked out of sync the first half. Some of that was Corey Heatherman's defense with the Canes, but in general, the Canes took it to them. They were up by double digits majority of this game. And really for the handicap, I kind of, well, first off, how about this? The teams that have the bye in this 2 years of 12 teams are 0-5, by the way.
Yeah.
So you almost don't want the bye. We see this in the NFL playoffs too. You know, the team with the wild card, you know, that wins the wild card matchup, you know, maybe you don't win the Super Bowl, but a lot of times they get hot. They win at least a couple games. So that was kind of the logic too. And then I just thought that Ohio State came in with the 62nd rushing attack. And I thought, man, Miami's, you know, defense, I think they're going to win the line of scrimmage, and that pass rush is not going to have to fear the run because they can't run. And that's kind of what happened here.
So DraftKings threw out some lines I saw where they said in the next round, they'll take on the winner of Georgia Ole Miss. They'd be +3.5 Miami against the Dogs. They'd lay 1.5 against Ole Miss. Do you think those numbers make sense to you?
I like their matchup if they were to get Ole Miss. Georgia would be a little different because I think Georgia's kind of complete like them, you know, and Georgia's also peaking. I feel like they're and came into the season incredibly young and kind of grew up right before our very eyes. So the Georgia one, I guess I could see it with Kirby Smart's history. But yeah, I think the Canes should be favored if they play Ole Miss. I truly believe that.
Is there a world where Miami +425 to win the title? They're the only team right now that has advanced to the next round, to the semifinals. Do you think Miami's capable of winning a national championship?
With the way that line of scrimmage, and if Cristobal can get out of his own way, sure. But I'll say this, a lot of people, I feel like a lot of talking heads scrutinize the ACC for their tiebreaker, and maybe rightfully so, but I was looking at it today thinking, you know, Miami might not have been in the playoffs if they played in the ACC championship. If they had to play Georgia Tech or something, or, you know, I think Georgia Tech could beat Miami. They've beaten them the past 2 years, so why wouldn't it be a third year? So I think by them not playing in the ACC championship, it actually worked out for the ACC's favor because they're getting a percentage of this pie with each win.
Yeah, and what about Ohio State? Let's evaluate their season because, you know, I don't know. I think we might have been in sync here where we weren't totally buying them from the preseason on. They lost so much the last 2 years, the investment to keep those kids a year ago. I questioned how good they really were. And I know, like, they beat Texas, they went to the Big Ten title game, but there was no point where I was like, okay, Ohio State is the Ohio State we're used to seeing. And can we carry that over to Indiana? Because one of Indiana's best wins is over Ohio State, and they're 7.5-point favorites in the Rose Bowl taking on Alabama. Is it fair to ding Indiana because of the way Ohio State looked tonight? Or do you think it's two separate conversations?
I mean, I think it's probably two separate conversations, but yeah, I mean, look, Ohio State played one top 20 offense all year, top 25 offense, and they lost that game to Indiana. Miami was the 27th ranked offense today, and they pose problems, however you want to look at it. Now, I understand. I mean, Indiana did beat Ohio State, but it was a very close game. So maybe there's a slight angle there for you. But I think the real one with Indiana is the win at Oregon that really sells their resume to me. You know, going there and beating them the way they did and just kind of beating them down on the line of scrimmage as well, I think is the big one that stands out there. But yeah, Ohio State, you know, it's like they didn't think of this having 18 team conferences and 17 team conferences that sometimes we might not be getting the best teams in. Now, Ohio State's still extremely talented, but they certainly weren't tested with a lot of good offenses.
Can you imagine people who are making the case for Julian Say and Heisman? Every time he was ever asked to elevate his teammates, he came up short. All right, let's get to your place. You like Indiana, though, laying the 7. Total's 48.5. You're laying it in the Rose Bowl.
I love it. Look, Ohio State, in my opinion, but going back to that, is kind of like Alabama. Alabama is even worse version of they can't run the ball. I think they're 120th. They're a bottom 15 team running the ball. The O-line has had issues all year. And then I think their rush defense numbers are a little cooked. They were like in the 60s or late 50s before that Eastern Illinois game. So they cooked the books a little bit there, and then Oklahoma can't run on anybody. So I think those numbers, I see them now like 29 or something. I don't know that I buy that. And here's the thing. They're one dimensional. They're too one dimensional, almost like Ohio State, even more so like Ohio State. And they're going to the Rose Bowl where they're calling for rain. So not only are you going to know what they're going to want to do. It's just not good conditions for the Tide. And also, Indiana doesn't need to put extra bodies. They don't fear the run. They have the best run defense since the first game of the season. If you throw out that Old Dominion game where Colton Joseph had 280-yard touchdown runs, Indiana's had the best run defense in the nation. So I don't think they need to pressure him. I think they're going to be prepared for this. And I just think the conditions really hurt Alabama's chances. Lay it.
Colby Dent is our guest, Sports Gambling Podcast Network, The College Experience at the Colby D on X. All right, let's go to the Orange Bowl. Early start, grab your Tropicana. Ducks laying 2.5, totals 50.5, but you're saying, Red Raiders are legit, give you plus 2.5. Would you go money line?
I'm going money line. And look, it's a similar thing with the Miami thing. Like, if you were to actually say, who are the best teams on the line of scrimmage in college football? I think you might have a case for Miami and Texas Tech. I think Texas Tech's been kind of underrated because they've been in the Big 12. You look at Oregon in those big games they've played, right? Circle the Iowa game, circle the Indiana game. Their offense has sputtered. They haven't got a lot of touchdowns in these games, a lot of field goals. I think Texas Tech's going to win the line of scrimmage battle there. I am a little concerned that Baron Morton. He gets injured every other play and the backup is out for the season. But I think Texas Tech is the more complete team this year. So I will take Texas Tech to win it outright.
All right. And then finally the Sugar Bowl, not to be confused with Michael Irvin is currently doing in the Dallas Fort Worth area right now, Georgia laying 6.5, total of 55.5. Which direction are you going here?
Yeah, we might get one of those James Brown mugshots from Michael Irvin tonight. Nick Nolte style. I'm all over the dogs here, man. Look, Lane Kiffin showing up with the governor of Louisiana. That's not going to be a distraction, right? He's not going to make that about him, is he? I just think it's a tall order. Kirby Smart, you give him 20 some days to prep and you've already thrown your best stuff at him. So he's going to be able to dissect what happened. And really ever since the fourth quarter of that first matchup in Athens, that's when Georgia turned the corner to me. They've been dominant since then. I'm all over Kirby Smart with prep. So I'm going to lay that number there. I'm surprised it hasn't moved that much, really.
I feel like no one's talking about this game. I feel like nobody is talking about the Sugar Bowl, which means it'll probably end up being the best game of this round. Well, hey, man, I appreciate you doing this, staying up late, broadcasting from the future in 2026. I hope you and the family have a great new year. We'll chat again more in 2026.
Thank you, and happy New Year's to you and your family as well, brother.
Awesome stuff. He is Colby Dent. Check out his podcast, The College Experience, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. ProfitX, the number one sports prediction market, has some of the best future pricing you'll find on the College Football National Championship, plus also Super Bowl odds. With a huge slate coming up, playoff seeding on the line, now's the perfect time to get in and take advantage of ProfitX's 20% purchase match. Download ProfitX today and experience the future of winning. Use the promo code VSIN to get started today. It's Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got a lot to tackle in our next segment because we've got a full slate when it comes to the bowl games, the Orange Bowl, the Rose Bowl, and the Sugar Bowl all coming your way. I've got bets in all of them. Plus, we've got some NBA action we have to attack. NBA props were decent today. We're on a decent run lately. So we'll see if there's a couple that we can look at. And there is a guy that I think is going to benefit from Yusef Nurkic being out for the Utah Jazz. Oh, we're digging deep. It's Thursday. It's New Year's Eve. You got to dig deep at this point in the holiday calendar as we're in that vortex where I think most people are waking up. And they're saying to themselves, hold on, what day is today? I mean, everyone knows it's January 1st, but what day of the week is it? You're going to have to check your phone to figure it out. The vortex is about to end. We're about to get back to reality. And with that, some real reality with the bets coming your way on the other side. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. You're locked into Cashing Out on VSiN. It's the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. This show has flown by. A lot of action throughout it, and we have a jam-packed, jelly-tight day to deal with on Thursday. It gets going early on. The Orange Bowl, apropos for some mimosas to cure that hangover you're dealing with today. Welcoming in 2026. Happy New Year to you and yours. And we've got an awesome New Year's slate of college football. We're going to preview all of that right now in our VSiN Morning Bet segment. So let's begin. Oregon and Texas Tech down in Miami. Ducks are laying 2.5. Your total in the game is 50 and a hook. And I like Oregon. I went Oregon money line -128, -140. I still think it's playable, but if I was going to bet something right now, if I had nothing on this game, I'd go under. I'm also on the under, which I got to believe under 51.5 on this game. I just think both defenses dictate how this is going to go. You've got Oregon 10th in scoring versus Texas Tech, who is 3rd in scoring. Rushing, you've got Oregon 24th, Texas Tech is number 1. Passing defense, Ducks are 5, Red Raiders are 24th. Defense is going to control the tempo and pace of this game. And I think you're going to see two teams that don't want to turn the ball over and put the ball in harm's way, rely on their defense, and hope that a running back could break off a big one. If that's the case of the matter, I think the diverse group that Oregon can throw out there, I lean slightly more towards their side to find a way to get some openings and make enough plays. And then Dante Moore through the air, I just believe in him over Baron Morton. I think he's a guy that's going to play on Sundays. He's going to get drafted very high. And we were on him for Heisman. It ended up not coming to fruition. There was a brief point in time this year where he was the favorite. I think he lives up to the billing. I think he has a big game and makes a bunch of big throws when it matters in the fourth quarter to give them the win. I don't know if he puts up monster stats, but I think he has big moments against a Red Raiders defense. But, you know, Dan Lanning's been in big games before. Maybe hasn't had the best success, but I do think experience matters. While Joey McGuire is a guy who's been around forever, was a high school football coach in Texas for a long time, and is now in charge of this program, Texas Tech, which went into the portal and bought an awesome roster. They've developed guys too. Jacob Rodriguez has been there and a few others. Baron Morton has been there for a couple of years. So I don't want to say they just bought the entire team, but they absolutely filled the gaps of the roster that's gotten them to this level. I just don't really buy into the Big 12 schedule because who are their big wins? BYU a couple times. Utah was a solid win, but the Big 12 is not at the level of the Big 10, and the SEC. And I just don't think Texas Tech has really been properly tested, and they're going to do so against an Oregon team that under Dan Lanning is always a lead on the line of scrimmage. Dan Lanning is 2-1 to the under in bowl games. He's just 1-2 against the spread, but he is 2-1 straight up. Lanning 32-16 against the spread as a favorite, 26-22 to the under in that role. He's 3-1 to the under as a neutral favorite. He's 11-4 against the spread non-conference and 8-3 to the under on grass fields. On the other side, Joey McGuire, 10-7 against the spread as a dog, 8-7 against the spread and over in non-conference play. He's 7-2 against the spread off a bye and 7-1 to the under on grass fields, but I like the under and I like Oregon because I think in the end, they have a quarterback and they have skill guys that I trust a little bit more than Texas Tech and what I expect to be a old school defensive rock fight. Now let's go to the Rose Bowl, which gets going at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Indiana is up to a 7.5-point favorite against Ala-freaking-Bama. Your total is 48.5. I'm on the Tide, guys, and it may be square. I'm okay with being square in this spot. I'm just not sure any of these teams at this stage of the game, there's a lot of separation between the top team and the bottom team that's left in college football. And because of that, I have to, on principle, take Alabama. I believe that the SEC shows up when it matters the most. I believe some of that speed, some of that elite athleticism could show itself in this spot against Indiana. Indiana's got plenty of playmakers. And there's a situation where maybe the weather impacting this game actually benefits Indiana in their run game because they've got a duo in Black and Hemby that can tote the rock. But Alabama's defense, pretty good most of the year. Not as good against Oklahoma in the playoff, not as good against Georgia. So lately, the data doesn't look so good. But big game, Kalen DeBoer, this is what this guy does. Also, he's an underdog, and he covers as an underdog. He is 2-0 against the spread as a dog at Bama, 10-2 covering the number in his career. He is 6-3 against the spread and out of conference play at Bama, 17-5 in his career, and he's 5-1 against the spread off the bye at Alabama. And he's going to take on a quarterback in Fernando Mendoza, who just won the Heisman Trophy. And Mendoza met with the media and discussed what his mindset is for this matchup in the Rose Bowl.
pressure's a privilege. Like, although that we, we're the number one seed in the college football playoff, and we have all these high expectations, Indiana's the first time Indiana's ever done this. At the same time, we're grateful, and we want this opportunity. This is what we've been working for the entire offseason. And it's not like we're here to go defend something. You know, it's like we don't have, you know, this win against the Rose Bowl. We don't have the national championship. We don't have the semifinal win yet. We don't have the Rose Bowl, you know, trophy, or we don't have roses in our mouth yet. We got to go get it. We got to go take it. And especially against such a great team like Alabama, an SEC juggernaut, we got to go take it.
Yeah, look, it's a great story. I love Mendoza. I loved him all year. I loved Indiana. I'm not trying to disparage him, but the numbers are interesting. When you look at when he had to elevate his play against the best talent, against Iowa, Oregon, Penn State, Ohio State, he had 5 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. That's a bit concerning going up against Oregon defense that I think is absolutely legit. I don't think it's going to be easy. And it wasn't easy against Ohio State for him to move the football because of that. I think we're looking at a low scoring game. I don't think it's low scoring enough to like the under, but I do like it to be low scoring enough that Indiana keeps it close. I think, or Alabama keeps it close. I think 7.5 is way too much. And that's what I'm seeing right now over at DraftKings. Kurt Cignetti, for his, to be fair here and give both sides of this story, 15-8 against the spread as a favorite, 6-2 against the spread as a favorite of 3.5 to 10, 4-3 against the spread in non-conference at Indiana, 3-2 covering the number off a bye at Indiana. But I question one of Indiana's big wins, not just the Oregon win, but beating Ohio State in the Big Ten title game. Ohio State just got punked by Miami. I think that knocks Indiana down just a bit. A little bit. I'm not saying a lot, but you have to question how good everyone is. Not just Indiana, everyone is. And because of that, I'm going to take the Tide, a talented team with a coach in DeBoer that I think is flying under the radar with how good of a coach he actually is. All right, let's go now to the Sugar Bowl. Ole Miss and Georgia. This number is just sitting there at 6.5, boys and girls. 55.5 is your total. And you've got Ole Miss coming into this one, I think, inspired. I think galvanized as a group coming together. Wanted to show Lane Kiffin, oh, you thought you'd go to LSU to win a national title? Hey, dummy, we're going to do that right now. I mean, TBD if that ends up happening. But their mindset in that locker room is, we're going to show the guy who bailed on us, who abandoned us, and we're going to show him that he could have won a title here. And Pete Golden takes over. And I think Pete Golden is a guy that has been very respected in coaching circles for a while. He worked under Saban with Kiffin when they were both at Alabama. He got his start at Division II Delta State in the Gulf South Conference. He has worked his way up to get here. He is looking to capitalize, going up against Kirby Smart, who's got some rings on those fingers with national championships at Georgia and Alabama and LSU to his name. But I think Ole Miss is going to come out and be fired up. I think you're going to see a really strong game plan that's going to throw Georgia off the scent because you've got Charlie Weiss Jr. You've got Pete Golden calling the defense. And I think they're going to put their own wrinkle on things without Lane Kiffin overhead as a leader. And when you have a mobile quarterback like Trinidad Chambliss, that raises the floor of your team. He's also an experienced champion. I know people want to dismiss it, but having been through it at Division II, I know it's going to look and feel totally different, but this is a guy who has won a championship before, who the big moment he has capitalized on. And I think Trinidad Chambliss is going to have a moment or two here against Georgia where people's jaws are going to drop with how special of a talent he is. I think Ole Miss comes out first half and they're going to cover the first half number of 3.5, because looking at Kirby Smart's history, he's not good against the first half number. He's horrible. 59-62 against the spread as a first half favorite. 3-5 against the spread to the first half number in January. 9-15 against the spread in the first half with 2 weeks or more of rest. 9-15 against the spread in the first half off of a bye. I love Ole Miss in this spot. Take the points with them. And I think Golden is going to show up and prove Ole Miss to Ole Miss and their leaders why they gave him the job. And Ole Miss is going to hang with Georgia here. I don't know about full game, but I do like the first half when it comes to this one. All right, quickly, we'll go to the NBA, where there's a few games on the card for New Year's Day and a couple of bets that jumped out to me just based on some situations. For starters, Miami's at Detroit. Pistons laying 4.5. Total's 239.5. Tobias Harris is doubtful. And you're looking at the Miami Heat as a team that allow the third most rebounds to opposing tight ends. We're going to go Jalen Duren, over 10.5 rebounds against this squad. Last year against the Heat, Jalen Duren had 16 rebounds in their meeting in December, and he had 11 in November against the Miami Heat. The other play we're going to look at In the Jazz and Clippers contest, I don't like anything from a side or total perspective. LA's laying 11.5, total's 236.5. Instead, with Yusuf Nurkic out and Lauri Markkanen questionable with a knee injury, that to me is an auto fire on Kyle Filipowski. Go over 26.5 points, rebounds, and assists combined. Happy New Year. Welcome to 2026. Thanks for making us a part of the beginning of your year. But stay with VSiN all day long. VSiN by the Books gets started at 7 a.m. Eastern. Then you have a numbers game with Gil and Kelly, followed by prop points with the guru John Hansen. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. We'll see you next time.